Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Okay, boys, this gotta work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay, get a job.
You don't gotta go to work.
Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome to Tuesday, the trickiest day of the week. I have a new thing happening in my life that I would like to share with the class, if I may. Do any of you guys play Wordle, the New York Times word game on your phone? Are you a Wordler, Omar?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Yes. Max or Doc, are you guys?
Carla more than me, but yeah, we both. She does it.
No, I don't play that one. I play one called Word Seek, but I don't play the trendy Wordle.
How about you, Doc? Are you a Wordler?
No, I'm still not necessarily sure what it is, but I enjoy seeing people's Wordle online and seeing them post their streaks.
Yeah, I play a handful of word games on my phone, and Wordle, it's a 5-letter word and you have a handful of chances, and it basically starts out as a guessing game. Like, you throw your first word down. Some Wordlers use the same starting word every day, which I don't. I come up with a new word every day. How about you, Lamar?
I go back and forth. I go back and forth because I try to find a word that's got as many different letters as possible, you know, with vowels and the whole deal.
You have 6 chances to guess a 5-letter word. And so, like I said, a lot of people start off, like, the most popular Wordle word is adieu, because it has A-I-E-U. It has almost all the vowels. And so if you can figure out what vowels you're working with, right? But I take great pride because there's a Wordle bot that you can analyze your game. It'll tell you, like, how many people did what you did and how many people chose your opening word. My goal every day with Wordle is to choose an opening word that is so far down at the bottom of the list that, like, nobody picked it. And so, you know, some days I get it in 3. Every now and again, I get it in 2. There are days when I overthink it and I get it in 6. And the Wordle bot is like, whew, like, boy, that was tight. And I've been playing Wordle. It was invented by a guy during the pandemic, because his girlfriend loved word games. And so he invented this silly little word game for his girlfriend. He posted it on the internet. Other people started playing it. That's when I found it. And then the New York Times offered him $1.8 million for it. So that's the backstory. I don't know if you knew that, Lamar. That's the backstory of
Wordle. No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
All I knew is Alec Baldwin. He was the actor that used to play it. And he would get in these horrible fights online with people, which is very Alec Baldwin. But yeah, he was the first guy that I knew.
Well, I've been playing, quietly playing Wordle every day, minding my own business, since this dude invented it and posted it online in like 2020. My husband is now playing Wordle and wants to be competitive with me. And that is, by the way, for all of you that are getting married for the first time next month, get ready, because that is what marriage is. Something you enjoy doing that you've never said a word about to anybody. Like, I've never talked about Wordle to any of you before. Now your spouse is doing it, and now it's competition. So one of his kids, he plays chess online with one of his kids, Zane, and that's the kid that got him Wordling. So now every day we have a new thing in my relationship where my husband says, did you do your Wordle? How many guesses did it take you? Because it only took me 3. Did you do your Wordle? I got it in 2.
It's
yes,
true.
I didn't. I did my Wordle, and I You beat me today. I got it in three. Ha, 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 ha. And it's making him very cocky, and he's going to need a good, solid spanking in a Scrabble game here pretty soon to put him back in his place. But, yeah, it is wild to me. And this happens. I've seen this happen with other people. I have a friend who's a runner. Her husband was like, it's so stupid. It's so pointless. Why would you run if no one's chasing you? Guess who's a runner now? Guess who's a runner now and talks endlessly about running and subscribes to a running magazine and is constantly on her about run, run. This is what we do to each other.
It is what we do to each other. You know what I discovered the other day? Mary will come up sometimes and just start singing an annoying song, or come up and poke me when I don't expect to be poked. And I said, why do you do these things? She goes, I just like the reaction. It's just fun for me. I like the reaction when I'm irritating you, if you really want to know the answer. And I thought, wow. I mean, I get that at my work, and now I get that at my home. It's like they've merged together, and I can never get away from Bobby that way.
Well, I think the whole reason Kevin started playing Wordle really is because I became a member of the Chiefs Kingdom. And now I follow him around telling him football facts about the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's very possible.
We got morons in the news coming up. We got things Bob didn't know. Comedian Bob Marley. Plus, you know about your love language, right? Get ready to learn your stress language. Straight ahead. You found it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
There is a song called God Save the King. And if there, here it is. God Save the King. And of course, it was co-opted here in the United States. My Country, 'Tis of Thee is also the same melody. So I think we know that melody very, very well. We were all brought up with it. And people in Great Britain were brought up with God Save the King. And when he appears, you know, you hear that played. A study found that 42% of young people between the ages of 18 to 24 want God Save the King to be dumped. They said it's old-fashioned sounding. They say it's militaristic in lyrics. And they say it has a religious tone that is not appropriate in this day and age. Some object to the monarchist sentiments, because they don't like the monarchy, while for others, they just say it sounds out of touch with modern Britain. And so they were asked, the young people were asked, again, 18 to 24 years old, were asked, well, what do you think it should be replaced with? And the number one reply, and these are British young people, was this song.
What? What? It's definitely an upper, you know, compared to God Save the King.
I think it's the bump, bump, bump that everybody does at baseball games or football games when it plays. That song was out in 1969, and it is going to be with us forever, because somebody in Boston started doing it after the Red Sox won or something like that.
It was around the time they won their first World Series.
Right, right. And people just went, bump, 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 and it started to spread. And it went to football stadiums. And now it is all over the world. Now, I get the happiness in the song. I do. It's a beautiful song. It was written actually about JFK's daughter, Caroline Kennedy, by Neil Diamond. But it makes absolutely no sense in Great Britain. It has nothing to do with Great Britain. They just want to be able at a big celebration to get together with their friends and sing these lyrics together. Bum, bum, bum.
Are they going to change the lyrics to make it about the monarchy, though?
I have no idea.
Save the king.
He's on the throne. Oh, oh.
Oh, no, they don't want any by God kind of reference to the land. To the monarchy. God
to lead the land? No?
No? That's good. But they don't want anything to do with the monarchy. They just want something that's bright and sounds more contemporary. Now, I must point out, it was written in 1969. So it's not like, you know, from the pen of Beyonce or something.
I think they should take the tune and just write it to be like about God Save the King. That's what we did with the Star Spangled Banner, right? We took the, and My Country Tis of Thee. Like
My Country Tis of Thee, yeah. Yeah, the Star Spangled Banner was written about, of course, that moment.
I'm talking about the tune, not the lyrics. Yeah. I'm talking about the tune.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, I think they should just take the tune and write a new song. God Save the King.
Do you think that would ever happen here? There's been some discussion that the national anthem is too militaristic and is very hard to sing. Max is a singer and he knows that it's a very hard song.
You have to
start
low. The key is you start low.
Yeah. Not everybody is Whitney Houston.
It's never going to change. I know people Probably say that. Not. It's never going to change. There's other beautiful ones. America the Beautiful is a wonderful
America
song.
The Beautiful.
It's a really beautiful song.
This Land is Your Land.
It's a wonderful, beautiful song. But what's interesting about This Land is Your Land, it's a protest song.
It is.
That's saying, hey, this Coke. Land is, this land is your land.
Right.
So it's not what you think. It's kind of like Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen. Everybody thinks it's one thing, but it's really not.
It's very critical of it.
Yeah, it's very, very critical.
Now, the only song that we haven't touched on is America the Beautiful. And let me say, I thought that the Super Bowl rendition by Post Malone was particularly fine.
That was good.
If you were watching that part of the game. Yeah, we have a bunch of songs. We got a bunch of songs.
If you give me a second, I'll get it. So we can go out with
it.
Just give me just a little bit of time here.
I'll stall. Well, my career began in Fall River, Massachusetts, so many years ago.
What kind of a station was it, Bob? Was it an AM daytime?
AM 5,000 watt radio station. Yeah. I had a dream.
Four spacious skies, forever
it's a beautiful song.
For purple mountain majesty, above the
I can hear my mother now saying, he'd be so much more handsome without those face tattoos.
If you watch the Fortnite video, in one part of it, his tattoos are covered and he's a dreamboat. Your mom is right. You're right, Francis, up in heaven. Of course, I like him with his ink, too. All right, we got Morons in the News straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
Let me just say at the start of this first Moron in the News story, there are thousands and thousands of Catholic priests all over the world that do wonderful work for the soul. They help a lot of people. They do a lot of charity. But once in a while, you get a bad apple when you have that many people. A Catholic priest in Pottstown, Pennsylvania is in trouble thanks to Candy Crush Saga. Reverend Lawrence Kozak was charged with theft and related crimes for spending $40,000 in church funds over 3 years on Candy Crush Saga and Mario Kart Tour. An accountant for the church came in and was stunned to find, and I quote, an astronomical amount of Apple transactions, unquote, he found while reviewing the church's books. Kozak also had an Amazon account linked to the church where he bought personal stuff, and he was charged with that also. Basically, he's breaking the Eighth Commandment, which is not good for a man of the cloth.
Mm. Oh, sir. Sir.
A pair of diners were busted for swiping free meals in several UK restaurants totaling over $1,200. Anne and Bernard McDowell are accused of dining at five eateries within a 30-mile radius of each other and leaving without paying the tab. The McDonoughs were arrested and charged with 5 counts of fraud. And McDonough was also charged with 4 counts of theft. Here's what they did. The fraudsters would snatch the free meals on multiple occasions because local law enforcement didn't really think that the calls are an emergency. So they're not rushing out to see what's going on. So the restaurateurs are pretty ticked off about it. And they always use the same procedure with premeditation, and they continue to rob without consequences, the restaurant owners are saying. The cheap patrons would dine in their targeted establishment with 4 other people. After eating the very large meals, which usually cost around $400, 4 group members would quickly exit, leaving behind Ann McDonough and a small child to pay the bill. The woman tried to pay with a card, but it was declined. Then she would say, "Hey, I've got my other card in the car. I'll run get the card. And then they would ask for the boy to stay and wait for her in the restaurant. So she would leave, and about 10 seconds after, the boy would jump up and run to the car, and they would drive off. And so one of the restaurant guys says, "I've been waiting for 2 months for any contact from the police." He said, "I give them video records, showed them what happened, and nothing was happening." So finally, the restaurant posted their story on Facebook with the video. Then the police called him up and said, "Can I get those recordings again?" And he said, "Well, I've already sent them to you." And he goes, "Well, that was a long time ago. We don't have them now." Turns out the police have arrested the people, and they needed the evidence. So they got him.
So
that's pretty bold. Pretty bold.
That is pretty bold. The police were actually shamed into doing that in a way.
Yes.
By the posting.
Yeah, because it wasn't important to them. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Let's go to today's moron of the day, 33-year-old Florida man Joshua Kolotka. So a boat gets stolen, and it takes the deputies in Glades County, Florida, a minute, but they eventually identify the suspect, Josh Kolotka, and now there's a manhunt, and they've spread out across the region, and they're looking for him. But this is a mastermind boat thief criminal because he has a special disguise that he's wearing. Deputies witnessed him exiting a home dressed up as a woman. And can I tell you the fashion crimes this man committed? There should be charges. First of all, girl, what is with that cardigan? That's a hard, hard no. Also, sir, that wig just ain't it. And if you're going to dress up as a woman, I'm going to need you to shave that 5 o'clock shadow, because unless you're my Aunt Arlene, that is highly suspect. Deputies could not believe how lame this disguise was. And so, of course, they arrested him, and he's bonded out. And he is, or he's not bonded out. They're holding him on no bail, and they're taking him to trial. I can't wait for you to see this guy.
Lamar's story with the people who were dining and dashing. That little kid, how old was that kid? 8 years old, Lamar?
Something he's going to grow up and steal cars.
I'm telling you.
It's terrible.
It's like out of Bonnie and Clyde, that kid. Wow.
Well,
if he grows up to steal cars, I don't want him taking fashion advice for his disguise from Josh Kolotka.
No.
Straight ahead, things Bob didn't know. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Liberace was one of the great performers of his time. His flamboyant style on and off the stage are what made fans love him and made the gossip magazines love to hate him. Despite the tabloids' relentless insults and rumors about his sexuality, Liberace found himself crying all the way to the bank.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Bob and Sherry website, The Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Chicago. Omar Abuwad is called Omar the Barber, and he is giving out free haircuts to as many people as he can find. He has made it his mission to help people that are living on the streets to feel brand new. And he does it all without a shop or a fancy swivel chair. He says without a haircut, a person feels depressed and stressed out. Once you get that haircut, no matter what you're going through, you feel like a brand new person. Omar the Barber has been through his own challenges. He taught himself to cut hair 14 years ago and worked his way up to having his own shop. But all that changed when a car crashed right into the shop. A lady lost control and crashed into the building, and now he's got no store. But the loss of his shop also gave the barber, time to give back to the community. I've been wanting to do this for years, giving back to the community and show the world they're still good out there. Clients like Troy Brown have not had a haircut in months or maybe even longer, and his services are much appreciated. Troy said, "I felt good. I'm like, man, I forgot I could look this good." And the barber says the haircuts make him feel pretty good too, and he's feeding not only the soul, but also the body by handing out turkey sandwiches to the homeless. When
what
I
a
wrap
guy.
Up a haircut, yeah, he says, when I wrap up a haircut, I'm the man. I feel good. I made someone's day. And through it all, Omar the barber says he's just doing what he would want someone to do for him if he ever needed it, if he was out on the streets. That's pretty cool.
If you want to follow him on Instagram, he's Omar.the.barber.
Barber.
What a great guy.
He's got about 118,000 followers.
Is he is he retired as a barber?
No. He looks like he's in his 30s.
Oh, yeah. Is he really? Good for him.
Yeah. I'm sure he's just waiting. He's got to figure out. I mean, I think he didn't have insurance and some couple of things, I think, when the car ran into the shop. But instead of sitting around whining about it, he just took to the streets and started cutting hair for the homeless, which is
good
pretty
for
dang
him.
Cool.
Good for him. And you do. You do feel better after a haircut, usually.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Bob and Sherry Books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Max, for that lovely introduction there. And here's number one. There is a Starbucks at the CIA headquarters in Washington, D.C. Right inside the CIA headquarters, they've got their very own Starbucks. Baristas are not allowed to ask for names to put on the cups, which makes sense.
Oh, that's fun.
Why couldn't they use code names? They should be able to use code names.
Yeah, I guess you could, but you can't say, what's your name, sir? You cannot say that. Those people put their lives on the line. Bees are directly responsible for the production of 70% of fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts that we consume on a daily basis. I am really glad that bees have been in the spotlight recently. Have you noticed that? All these celebrities who are beekeepers, you know, they're in People magazine or something like that. Because there was a scare. Wasn't there a scare about it 2 years ago that we were losing all the bees?
Mm, we're still worried about it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I think we are. But they're
you
hanging
lose the
in
bees,
there.
We're in trouble.
I would love to be a beekeeper, but I just don't see me doing that. Man,
why?
I just
you've
don't
got
see
room
me.
In your backyard for a hive. You could
and you, make your garden work good. Yeah.
You know you would like the beekeeper outfit. You know how you like an outfit?
Yes.
And then you could make
cool
your own
outfit.
Yeah, and you could make your own honey for your honey. And I think Mary would find it very sexy. For you to be out there smoking the bees and
but I would
the
love
honey.
To walk into one of her book club meetings with that whole garb on. Hi, ladies. Out there working with the bees.
Yeah, you know you want
used,
to.
Once you get used to them, you could get them to do that beard of bees and hang off your chin.
Yeah.
Like people do.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't think I could ever be comfortable being around that many bees. All I'd be thinking about is all it takes is one bee to get up underneath this cloak. No, I couldn't do it. But I admire people who do that. So listen to this. When a cockroach touches human skin, it runs away immediately to safely clean itself. You know what? I don't blame them.
Except with Bob Lacey, because even the cockroaches know his germs are helping germs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up.
When the cockroach touches my skin, he don't get far. He does not get far. I'm
All right. Here's the next one. These things blow my mind. It's about water. The probability of you drinking a glass of water that contains a molecule of water that also passed through a dinosaur is 100%.
Of course,
Is that not mind-blowing?
All of the water is recycled. All of the water is recycled. It comes up through, you know, like it evaporates and goes up into the clouds and then falls back to the earth as rain. Yeah, it's all right.
Recycled. I'm really offended that you said, I don't believe that. This is a part of things Bob didn't know. Okay.
Well, I was thinking you're right. I was thinking about the rain. I don't know that everything come through a dinosaur. Come on.
It's the same water that repeats and repeats.
Well, Sherry, I don't know why you're worried about Bob and the peanut butter if you're willing to drink water that's come through a dinosaur. I mean,
because that water's been filtered and cleaned as opposed to that bacteria colony living inside his jar of Jif.
I say one thing, and it has a life forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this will live on.
In 1952, Mr. Potato Head became the first toy advertised on TV. Now, you may have heard that, but did you know that was also the first campaign aimed at children? Mr. Potato Head was the first one because Madison Avenue, TV was new. It was out like 2 or 3 years. And Madison Avenue, the advertising community is getting very excited about this. And they're going, okay, now who can we go after? What are we missing here? We're missing children. And that's where it began on television, the advertisements for Mr. Potato Head. And believe me, every kid, it's still out now, isn't it? Isn't there still?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Grandchildren have Mr. Potato
Head. Man, I had Potato Head. I had a Potato Head. Oh, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Isn't it awesome that a toy based on adding facial features to a spud is still so popular? Yeah. Isn't that
great? I know it. It's hard to believe because it's so basic. And finally, it now costs more than $250,000 to raise a child to the age of 18. So if you're thinking about starting that family, keep that in mind. Still do it if that's what you want. But put a few bucks to the side. They are expensive and they never go away. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
We're celebrating National Teacher Appreciation Week by sending teachers to Florida to enjoy a relaxing stay at Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. Go to bobandsherry.com to nominate a teacher to win this great vacation from Visit Florida.
Evidently, if you're drinking a glass of water, there is about 100% probability that one molecule from that water passed through a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing new. We're a closed system. All of your rain is coming from, you know, water in lakes and oceans and all of that, and then raining back down as rain. Do you think that your drinking water is being shipped in from the moons of Jupiter? No, like Earth is a closed system. Everything you eat and drink and touch has been filtered through countless, millennia and bodies and everything else. But I have to tell, I learned something about the T-Rex that I'm so excited to tell you, and I never thought it would be able to come up on the show. So the T-Rex was like a really, it had the intelligence of a really smart, like picture a genius crocodile. That was how smart the T-Rex was. So the saltwater crocodile is like one of the most dangerous animals on Earth. And the T-Rex was like a super smart version of that. T-Rexes ate each other. They didn't just, it's not like in Jurassic Park where they eat like, you know, a goat and a tire and Newman from Seinfeld and maybe a Brachiosaurus. A hungry T-Rex thought nothing of eating each other. They were cannibals as much as they were anything else. And the younger a Tyrannosaurus Rex was, because they were, you know, little T-Rexes, they were chasing down small prey. It was the adults that were chasing down those big plant-eating dinosaurs that lived in herds. But your teenage T-Rexes, they could run. They were really agile, and they could jump and dodge. And so they like to chase things that would be about the size of a modern ostrich. And if they couldn't catch that, they'd eat each other.
Mm. I think we're getting that way in this country these days, though. We're moving toward it.
No, it do feel that way. It do feel that way. Yeah. Isn't that kind of like, of all the things that if you ever traveled back in time, you would not want to go back to when T-Rexes roamed the earth?
No.
Because they just, I mean, talk about a relentless predator that was smart enough to hunt you and stalk you. And then it would eat anything it got its teeth on. And Lamar, when you drink water, you're drinking water that was filtered through that top apex predator.
That makes sense.
He doesn't believe it.
I'm back. You're right. Really? It is a closed system. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking about evaporation. I was thinking about rain, but it's all the same thing. Blah, blah, blah.
Because the water does evaporate and it collects in the atmosphere and it reaches a point where there's so much of it that it has to fall as rain. I mean, where else could it come from, right?
Okay. But couldn't some water be in a lake that evaporated and came back down without going through the dinosaur? Has it got to go through the dinosaur? They didn't drink every bit of the water, did they?
We're talking about one molecule, though.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Would you rather that your Perrier had come through a dinosaur or Benny Hill? you have to think about it. It's coming through something. Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going with the dinosaur.
I mean, we, even like before we had, like if you've ever read Leaves of Grass, like that's what Walt Whitman is writing about, how we are everything. We are every blade of grass and we're the wind and the rain. We're all of these things. And it's when you think about it that way, don't think about drinking dinosaur intestinal water, Lamar. Think about the magic of all living things being interconnected. Does that feel better?
Yeah, that's probably a little bit better. I'm good with that.
He's still not buying it.
I learn something every day when I show up here. Every day I learn something.
You should join me and Max and Doc when we're putting True Weird Stuff together. You really learn something.
I don't want to have nightmares. I really don't want to have nightmares. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you'd really learn some things. In one of our recent episodes, we took you deep inside the intestines of Earth's longest reigning monarch. And boy, did we learn some things, didn't we? Yeah. Hey, folks, wash your produce before you eat it. That one's for free. You're welcome. Straight ahead, comedian Bob Marley. And what's your stress language? It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Bob Marley.
Good to be here. It's nice to be anywhere. I'm married. I have three kids, so I just want to be out, you know? Once you get married with those kids, it's unbelievably painful. They got to be occupied every single second. We didn't have that. We occupied ourselves, right? I used to come home from school and open the door. My mother would go, "Get out. There's a fig Newton on the porch. Go chase rats in the gully. I'll call for you." Can't do that. My wife's like, "The kids are so bored. I had 14 activities that we did this morning, and now they're just really bored." I have an idea, Bob. Do you want to go out and build a vegetable garden next to the house? I do. Yes, I do. But first, I want to go out and slam my dick in the car door. You don't want to teach the kids how to farm? Teach them how to farm. They text me from the second floor because they don't want to walk downstairs. You think they're going to farm? They don't even eat the vegetables. You think they're going to start growing them? I brought my whole family to Disney World. If you've never been to Disney World, there is absolutely no need to go to Disney World. It is the worst place on the face of the earth. I went with my wife, my mother, and my three kids. If you're ever going to go anywhere with that collection of people, here's what I want you to do. Go down to Tim Hortons, take a hot pot of coffee, and pour it on your That'll be a better day. I spent $12,000 at Disney World. Halfway through the week, I was like, "Rain Man, $12,000. I spent $12,000. Somebody kill me now. I spent $12,000. Every line has 1,000 people in the line, and every line has a clock above it telling you how much time you're going to have before you get on the... Which I believe is stupid, right? Just write 10 minutes or so. You're doing pretty good. Don't write 183 minutes. That bums people out. So I'm surveying our group. Okay, how are we going to do? I have a 12-year-old girl. She's going to be fine because she has an iPhone now, like she's closing a real estate deal or so, you know? Oh, my God. But I have 2 boys, 8 and 6, and they're going to fight. I don't know when they're going to fight, but they're going to fight. The 6-year-old looks at the 8-year-old and has this look like, I'm going to get something going with this guy. It always begins with the foot in the other guy's area. He starts up with some completely inoffensive rhyme. You don't even have anything because you don't even know anything. I'm looking at the 8-year-old going, if you want to knock him out, I will totally green light that. That's what my dad would have done. My dad would have hit me once in that line. I would have been like, I got it. I'm good. Thank you. Don't screw around on the 183-minute line or else you're going to walk funny and pee to the left for a couple of months. My dad was 6'3", 360-pound Irish guy with his pants always hiked up, always angry. Could never ask him a question. How you doing, Dad? How's it look like I'm doing? Huh? Do you ever see your dad tilt his head and that meant you might get your ass kicked? What's that? We didn't have Disney money growing up. We didn't have Next Town Over money. I remember saying to my dad once, I really want to go to Disney World. This is word for word what my dad said. I know, Bob. I really want to bring all the girls on The Price is Right. And my mother's with us, which is great. You know, I love my mother. But in this particular situation, my mother is the cherry on the sundae. I spent 12 grand. I'm chafed on parts of my body I can't even see. I'm like, what can make this a little worse? Hey, I got an idea. Let's bring my mother. This will be good. She's 73 years old. She's never been out of our home state. This won't be too overwhelming for her. It was like she was on an acid trip the whole week. This is my mother's walking pace through Disney World. I can't even make this up. This is her walking pace. Excuse me, are you sneaking up on someone? What are you doing? My kids are like, what is she doing? You can't say what you're thinking to your kid, right? I mean, you can't look at your kid and go, you don't think I know? You don't think I know? I'm like, Mom, listen, you got to pick the pace up, honey. You're killing us. We want to get halfway through the Magic Kingdom in a month. I love the horticulture, Bobby. I love it. The what? The shrubs. They all look like little Disney characters. Yeah, can you just get on the monorail before I have an aneurysm? We get on the monorail. It's completely packed. And very loudly, this is what comes out of my mother's mouth. When we get home, I'm going to trim my bush like Goofy. Hey, listen, I hope I made you laugh. Thanks for coming, everybody.
I didn't see that one coming.
That is comedian Bob Marley. You can find that at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, BobandSherry.com.
Sydney, Australia has a 69-year-old retiree who visited 120 pubs and ordered drinks in 24 hours. He broke the Guinness World Record. David Clarkson, who was born in Britain but has lived in Australia for 40 years, started his attempt with a drink at the Captain Cook Hotel in Sydney. Clarkson walked to 119 more establishments over the course of the following 24 hours, ordering a drink at each stop. Guinness World Record educator Pete Fairbairn joined Clarkson for the first four and final 4 hours of his attempt. Other witnesses accompanied Clarkson during the middle period of his pub crawl, collecting evidence for Fairbairn to review at the end of the day. Clarkson's attempt came to an end at the Sussex Garden Bar, where Fairbairn certified his record. He took the title from Australians Harry Kuros and Jake Lauderton, who visited 99 pubs in 24 hours. Here is the secret to having a Guinness Book record. Don't be a quitter, okay? Just don't be a quitter. Kuros and Lauderton quit at 99, but Clarkson, he did not quit. He kept going to 20 more bars. Clarkson was not a quitter, as you know. I hate one. I hate a quitter. And the very big question is, are the four of us, or five including Doc, the only people in the world that don't have a Guinness World Record? Because evidently, there's a world record on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it so work? Right.
Did he have a beer at every one of those?
No. Clubs? He ordered a drink. There's no way. There would be no way
to drink
those drinks.
Right.
I mean, but yeah, he had to order a drink. I just don't get this whole world record thing. There's got to be something I can do to win.
That had to cost him hundreds of dollars if he's ordering a beer, even if it's just a pint. That's gonna be expensive.
He's got the record. God bless him for it. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hello, Bob and Sherry. This is Jennifer from Georgia. I was just listening to your podcast about the caller that called in fussing at Sherry about mansplaining ambrosia. I will tell you, I grew up and my mother made ambrosia, but she did not put marshmallows or coconut in it and would call it a fruit salad. And it wasn't until I got much older than I realized that was ambrosia. But that takes me back to the time that Bob felt the need to mansplain fingerless gloves. It had been quite a while back, and I remember he was ready to mansplain, and Sherry had lost her mind and said, "I cannot believe you're about to mansplain." And from the backseat of my car, my son, who was probably about 5, said, "Mom, those are gloves that don't have any fingers on it where they're cut off, right?" And if my 5-year-old could figure that out, I know that we did not all need to know what fingerless gloves are. Have a wonderful day. I love the show.
Let me defend that. You notice that she said that the 5-year-old questioned whether or not it was gloves with the fingers cut off. He said, right. So he wasn't completely sure.
Bob.
So I feel I did a service.
The listeners are coming to your defense, though.
Hey, guys. Good morning. This is Jamie. I'm calling about Bob mansplaining stuff. Personally, myself, as a listener, I appreciate, you know, him explaining stuff because not everybody knows everything, you know. And Bob, he's concerned about his listeners, you know. He wants to make sure when he tells a story or whatever that they see the full aspect of it, you know, the full story like he did, you know. And he's looking out for the listener, looking out for the people he's telling this stuff to. And I really appreciate it, Bob. And thank you, Bob, for doing that. Well, y'all have a good morning. Thank you.
I wish Jamie
Bob's
were my
Bob's a man
friend.
Of the people.
I do.
He's a man of the people. Bob is a man
could,
of the
could
people.
Could Jamie not do a voice character in Family Guy?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Or King of the Hill?
So much of life is just right place, right time.
Good morning. Yeah. This is Jamie. I'm calling about Bob.
King of the Hill.
Mansplaining stuff.
Yeah.
I like Jamie, and he came to your defense.
I do want to go back to the whole ambrosia thing. The lady said, "My mom made it, but she didn't put coconut or marshmallows or whatever, and she called it fruit salad." That's because that's what it was. It was fruit salad. Fruit salad is awesome, but when you put the coconut and the marshmallows and raisins and all kinds of no, that fruit salad. That's right.
Somebody's so mansplaining, and it ain't B.O.B. Somebody's mansplaining, and it just ain't me.
That's a good song. What's you should do
Thank
another verse
much.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. I wish I never even heard
Dang
of Ambrosia
it,
at this point in my Dang life. I wish I'd never even heard what it was.
It's a bag of maggots, I'm telling you, man.
It's the most random thing that listeners seem to grab onto like that.
I know. You know why? I think people do that, especially with this show. They grab onto the most, well, we talk about the most random crap, let's face it.
Yeah.
But there's so much negativity in the world, and especially in this country right now. There's so much fighting and so much anger and everything that people just need a break. They just want to be able to communicate about something that is really not that important. And boy, you came to the right headquarters, folks, with the Bob and Jerry Show. I think that's why they do it. People just want to be able to, you know, talk about something that's simple, have an opinion, and nobody's going to get stabbed.
I think that life is a lot more fun when you're focused on the minutiae. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, I would much rather have a spirited debate with someone over Dukes versus Miracle Whip than over any other, like, breaking news topic. I wish
I could go back to the beginning of the Bob and Sherry Show. I can remember I was sitting on a plane with this business guy, and he started a conversation. He said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I have a radio show with a woman. She's very funny. What do you talk about?" And it was always difficult for me to explain. And he would, I would explain, "Well, we talk about our lives, and we talk about children, and we talk about," and it didn't connect with the guy. I wish I could start again. And when the guy says, "So what do you talk about?" Ambrosia. We discuss what is ambrosia. Just leave it at
and
that.
And you know what? The
cut.
Chances
clear
of
cut.
Hitting someone who doesn't know what it is, and then you get a chance to mansplain in person.
There you go.
It's yeah.
intoxicating. It's
Double
it's almost
win.
Too much. Yeah.
Yep.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
You could be one of our weekly Catterday winners of a Cat Scratcher box from Hide and Scratch. Enter now at bobandsherry.com. Hide and Scratch is the perfect combo of scratching and boxes. Go to hideandscratch.com.
I've got something really important, and this is amazing. Finally, both parties, the Republicans, the Democrats, they're unified. They're agreeing to pass some legislature that's going to help our country. It's going to help our country.
What is it?
Healthcare?
I can't believe it. Tell me.
No, it's not healthcare.
Is it Social Security? Is it national defense? Is it inflation? Mm-hmm. No. It is something that will way more important. They're going to make sure from this point on, every car manufactured in this country has an AM radio in it.
Oh, way to
Is
go,
that
NPB.
Right?
Way to go,
It's a very controversial bill, but both sides of the aisle have come together, and they're going, we can make this happen, guys. AM radio in every vehicle act is now being supported by both parties, and it's going to pass almost unanimously. AM radio, it's here.
That is the right, Sherry. That is the power of the National Association of Broadcasters, the NAB. Manufacturers of cars were saying, you know, it's just there are people that, you know, don't use AM radio. So we don't want to have to, you know, put it in the car, make it more expensive.
So let me speak in defense of AM radio. Most people listening right now don't ever hit that dial unless there's an emergency like a hurricane or a tornado or whatever. And we do need, like, the internet is awesome and I'm the most digitally addicted person alive, but we do need to have options for society and civilization when the internet goes down, which in a disaster it could, you know, you've got like AM and FM radio, that's physical real estate. It's invisible, but it's physical. And even, you know, in a storm-torn, devastated situation where you don't have electricity, you can kind of spin that dial on that AM radio and maybe hopefully get important life-saving news and information. Now, it's not enough just to have AM radio in the car. We have to have healthy, robust AM radio stations that are not being voiced by AI and running the same, you know, repeated shows over and over again. So it's important to have it in the car, but it's important that there's something on the other end of it broadcasting, right? And that is a real challenge right now, because like everything else in the world, things are so expensive and nobody, you know, can afford to take a job that pays as little as those jobs pay and blah, blah, blah. That said, my youngest child, who has grown up on the radio, grown up in a radio studio, on snow days and teacher work days, I would bring my kids into the studio and they would curl up on the floor with blankets and snacks and be part of the show. That child grew up in a radio station and learned 2 weeks ago that there was a difference between AM and FM radio. She
You're making
thought,
this up.
Are you no, no, in the up? Car, in the car, she thought that the AM radio, she's like, I can't find your show. It's all static. She was on the AM band. I think she thought the AM band was for people listening, you know, in the morning. And then I don't know what she thought you did in the FM band, but she did not know. And I had to explain. She's like, but mom, you're on in the morning. Why aren't you on this AM radio? I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So I had to explain. I had to mansplain AM FM radio to my child who has grown up in a radio station with AM and FM stations up and down the hallway. It was really shocking and depressing.
You just say to yourself, how could that be? But if you think about it, why would she listen to it? Because young people would not be as attuned to listening to news, and AM radio gravitated toward news and controversial
and talk. And sports.
Hello, Karamia. Hey, Karamia, there's a Dodgers game on the AM radio tonight. Like, no, she's
right,
never
exactly.
going to listen to that. But it's interesting because, like, if our kids don't know how that works, like, where do you think people learn this stuff? You think there's a class in school? There isn't. You learned
no, there's
it.
Not.
You learned it from riding in the car with your parents, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There's a real place for it. And you started off this little conversation. If
there
something
is, a place
is
for it.
If there's a catastrophe, AM radio yeah. stations, some of the bigger ones can be heard in multiple states. You don't get that with FM. So,
most of us don't have one in our house. Most people
right.
don't have one in your house. You need to have
yeah. 86% of people listening to this show right now don't have one. Kevin and I were on the road last summer, and there was a tornado watch. And so I'm hitting the AM dial. We were in, I think, Oklahoma, and I'm hitting the AM dial and I'm spinning looking for a station with news, and there wasn't one. So it's yeah. not enough, NAB, to have the AM in the car. What are we going to do about having the AM broadcasting to communities?
Right.
Like,
and
real information.
I'm the only one noticing yeah. it probably in the world, but Max is playing a song called FM. Isn't that FM?
Steely Dan.
Yes,
yeah.
it is.
Steely Dan.
Thank you, yeah. Bob.
Yeah, very good. This is Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this? It's sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
And I believe this.
Okay, everybody knows about the love language, and everybody's tired of the love language, and I hear you. These are the five stress languages. What is your stress language? Here we go. Stress language number one. And by the way, just like with love languages, you can be a mix of more than one, or you can be straight up one. So as you hear these, be super honest with yourself and ask yourself, ooh, is that me? All right. Stress language number one. You are the imploder, not the exploder, the imploder. You are a person with a freeze response. You feel hopeless and helpless and paralyzed and overwhelmed in a difficult, stressful situation. That is stress language number one, the imploder. And then there's its opposite, the exploder. This is your fight, or flight response. This is a person who has a way like inflated, almost out of proportion response to a stressful situation. They get irritable, they get frustrated, they get angry. Sometimes they just walk out the door. They just completely leave the situation because they're so furious that they know if they stay, they'll regret it. Here's stress language number three, the fixer, the tend and befriend reaction. And this is how a lot of women handle stress, appeasement, people pleasing, overstepping boundaries, mothering people who aren't your kids. You are the fixer. You tend and befriend. Ooh, that one feels close to home. Here is stress language number four, the number, as in the person who numbs themselves to the world when things are not going their way. This is a person who leans on anything that kind of helps you escape. Alcohol, overworking, overexercising, drugs, gaming, whatever it is that allows you to disappear into an activity or a substance that lets you escape the stress. And finally, the denier. This is your toxic positivity. This is the person who, no matter what is happening, has a almost ridiculously cartoon response to it in a way, in an attempt to minimize it. So this is the person who Lamar's house burns down and they say, well, weren't you and Carla thinking about moving? That's that person. They just can't, they can't engage with the terrible thing that's happening. So they go all toxic positive. So here we go. Imploder, exploder, fixer, number, and denier. And I'll go first and admit that I am a fixer with a dash of diving into overworking just for funsies on top of it. How about you?
I'm a fixer. I was thrown a little bit when you were saying, you know, you're taking on somebody else's children or whatever. I'm not doing that. But if I see a situation,
no, Bob, you took it too literally. No. You took it too literally. You're parenting people that aren't your children. You're not taking on other people's kids. You're stepping in and acting in a dad kind of a role or a mom kind of a role for an adult. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend. It's not raising other people's kids. No.
I do that mostly with my own family, not so much with strangers, but I am a fixer. Yeah.
I think you're a fixer too. How about you, Lamar?
Yeah, okay, I'm a people pleaser. I am a people pleaser.
Good yes. Grief. I'm almost scared to ask Max and Doc, do we have anybody here that'll just explode and lose their mind, Max?
Yeah, I will sometimes. Yeah, that could be me. Yeah. And also, I have that people pleasing, but I now call it what it really is, and that is lack of courage. It's people pleasing is a nice way of saying I'm not courageous.
I disagree.
I stay with people pleasing. I like people pleasing.
No, Max, you're very courageous. People pleasing is not a lack of courage. It's poor boundaries. It's not recognizing that you have the same right as anybody else does to be a human being. You think other people are worthy of more than you're willing to give yourself.
Yeah.
You're not lacking courage. You have sloppy boundaries, courage. Says the queen of sloppy boundaries.
Courage to stand up for myself because I'm afraid what someone might think if I actually take that bold step. Is that what?
Yep.
Can it be that?
Yep. And how about you, Doc? Imploder, exploder, fixer, number, or denier?
Probably some combination of like fixer, people pleaser.
How do we get anything done here? It's a room full of people pleasers with bad boundaries. It is a wonder. It is a wonder we get anything done. We're going to post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook so you can diagnose your own stress language.
We can save money with group therapy, though, Sherry. We all have the
same
problem.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of us have daddy issues. Oh, my God, what a day. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
So Buckingham Palace, the center room where the royals gather before appearing on the balcony, will open to the public for the first time. Visitors will be able to take guided tours of the royal residence's east wing, the front facade, which faces the mall. So all of those pictures you've seen where there's giant crowd, you know, down below, and the royal family, they're up there with their red jackets and their medals and their beautiful dresses, and they're doing the royal wave, and one of them's holding the latest baby and all of that. You'll be able to go into the holding room, which leads out to that balcony. I tell you what, wow. If I took that tour, I would be thrown out of Buckingham Palace, because there's no way that I'm not going underneath that velvet rope and going out for just a second to go, "Greetings, Sir Bobby greets you." And then they grab me and throw me out of the place. Just once, I would like to see what it feels like to be in that position where you're looking down on the entire world. Well, actually, I have been once or twice in that position.
Yeah.
Just physically for a change.
Yeah, just physically. Yeah, exactly. Just physically. That would be a cool thing to see. I mean, when you and I did the tour of Buckingham Palace, didn't you feel it was just kind of eh? You know, you saw the grand stairs and you saw the garden area out in the back, but you didn't really see. This is seeing something.
I'll tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing how desperate they are to divert attention from all kinds of shady.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
And it's going to cost almost $100 to go on the tour. So some things never change at all. It's going to be open in July. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
These are the top highest paid blue-collar jobs.
So you want me to pick one of these jobs that I feel with confidence that you could do?
With a little training.
With a little training.
Number 10 at $52,000 a year. That's good. A telecommunications equipment installer and repairer.
Nah. Mm-mm.
Little training?
No.
I could install.
No, the amount of No.
Number 9. I'm hoping for this one. Locomotive engineer. I get to wear the hat and have the gloves. And
I think it's interesting. You're already worried about the fashion part of it rather than the work part of it.
Do you know why I think this is a bad one for him?
You make it go forward. And then you make sure you stop it.
Long stretches alone in his head.
That's me, though.
Has that done you any favors?
But the train is already going. It's on the track. It's got the cow catcher thing in case there's a cow there.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, Choo Choo Charlie. No.
You know that thing in the front?
What is it, the 1800s?
We're stoking the coal.
I'm going to put that one as a maybe.
No.
With a little training.
Not a chance.
All right. Number 8. I'm putting that down as a possibility.
No.
Number 8, electrical power line installer and repairer.
No.
Average salary, 58.8.
Yeah, no.
I don't see me doing that either. Number 7, boiler maker.
Nah. Well, the drink.
Yeah, you could do the drink.
That's insulting.
Nah.
What do you do? You shovel coal into something, right? I mean, I don't want the job. It sounds like a lot of work.
No.
Real hot.
I mean, except for the engineer thing where I could, you know, wear the little hat and do anything. Sounds like a lot of work. Number 6, petroleum pump systems operator, refinery operator, and gouger.
The gouger part.
Yeah.
No, none of this. No.
Number 5, commercial diver. Yeah.
I think you look like that guy.
Yeah.
I can see you doing this.
Yes.
This is the only one so far. Circle that one.
I need some training, though.
Here it is. It's underwater welding.
It's what now?
Underwater welding, building bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
But he fancies himself on the prow of a speedboat with the salty wind whipping his hair back.
That's part of it.
Here we go. Hyperbolic chamber technician.
Yeah, no.
No.
Maritime welding specialist.
I don't want to do that.
DCBC assessment. I have no idea what
look,
that is.
Look around in there for like looks for sunken cars. Is there anything?
Air mixed gas commercial diver.
You know what? Uncircle that.
Really?
Well, I mean, he just.
But I'm keeping the
emergency medical technician.
No, he doesn't want to touch people.
Number four, running out here. Oil and gas rotary drill operator.
Nah.
$59,000 a year. Money. Number three. Oh, here we go. Transportation inspector. $61,000. What do they do? They inspect like cars
trucks.
You know, I don't know anything about that though. I don't
want to learn.
Number two, paying $61,700. Powerhouse substation and relay repairer.
Not a chance.
I'd like that one though, because you know those substations. There's never anybody there. They have it's like closed off with a gate. You'd be alone all day long. Have a nice little lunch there.
Nah.
You know,
repair. It wasn't facility supervisor. It was the repair guy.
It was the repair guy. Yeah, I couldn't do that. And finally, this is what your cousin's husband does: elevator installer and repairer.
They make
$67,950 a year. So what do we have? I get to be the engineer.
Well, says you.
That's as close as I could get.
Though. We have, Danette is, we have a train engineer. Let's punch up Mike on line 6, Max. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
How's it going? You're
could Bob be a train engineer, Mike?
I've been a train engineer for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, so wrong. They don't stop their sales.
Well, no, I'd have to be aware of where to stop it. I know they don't stop themselves. But, you know, the tracks switch automatically and everything, right?
Not all of them. Not all of them. That's what the conductor does now. That's his job. But basically, you're dealing with like 16,000 tons, and it's pretty much just like your vehicle. When you're going downhill, your vehicle speeds up. You're going downhill on a train with 16,000 tons, it speeds up.
All right, so I'll need a little training then, right?
Yeah, you need... 2 or 3 years of training, actually. Before you're actually turned loose.
I get to wear a hat, though, right?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I've got my UNC cap on right now.
So you don't have an official choo-choo train engineer hat like Bob wants to wear?
No, but I can get him one if he'd like one.
You know, Bob...
I'm going to get the job first.
You're more Sir Topham hat. I think that you are the train engineer.
Thank you Thank you, Mike.
Big picture overseer than you are.
We know she's more than a mother.
Come give your mama a kiss.
Bob and Sherry want to celebrate your mom or the mother figure in your life. Just send us a brief description with a picture of you and your mom. Hit the contest tab at bobandsherry.com, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to get a Mother of Pearl necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry. LandonLacey.com, a custom-made Mother's Day pillow from Check Feather and Down, a limited edition Mother of All Mothers huge latte mug, a limited edition Mother of All Mothers one-size-fits-most nightshirt.
Hello, Mother.
We know she's more than a mother. Enter now at bobandsherry.com.
Don't forget to tell your mom you love her.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
You can win a beautiful necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry, a custom Mother's Day pillow from Check Feather and Down, and we also have limited edition Mother of All Mothers merch. Just enter our More Than a Mother contest at bobandsherry.com.
The government of the United States and the government of Great Britain, England, has been described as a very special relationship. And despite the fact that we did battle them several times, we've been very tight. And I think part of that is we fought together shoulder to shoulder in world wars. We have a common language and all. But there is a point where we as Americans are going to say, there's no way you're doing that British thing in my country. And here's what it is. Cars that stop drivers from speeding hit the market in Great Britain in July. Most new vehicles on sale, these are new cars on sale in the UK, will be fitted with, quote, intelligent speed assistance, unquote. Cars will first get a beep to warn drivers they're going too fast. If that warning goes unheeded, the steering wheel will vibrate. And if that is ignored, the accelerator pedal will automatically push back to slow the car down. Drivers who don't want this tech will have to manually switch it off every time they start their car.
Okay.
I don't think that will ever happen here. I don't see that ever happening here. Absolutely no way. Would I have bought that car for my kids? Yeah, all day.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that. You're right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. But I don't know if it's because we are such a big country. We have wide open spaces. We have NASCAR to watch. We're in a hurry. We don't like being told what to do. Yeah.
We don't like being told what to do. We think we should be allowed to do as we please. And this is a real big example of being told what to do.
That's exactly right. And I know somebody on the Bob and Sherry show who would be pulling that thing out of his car so fast.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you what drives me nuts. The new cars now, what drives me nuts is when you pull up to the stop sign and the car cuts off. And then when you push the gas, it cranks back up.
You mean like a hybrid? Yeah, no. Mine does that too.
No, but regular cars, not even hybrids now. No,
I don't.
The first one, I don't have a hybrid,
and my car turns off and starts back up again. Yeah,
I had never drove one of these cars, and for the company, I bought all the cards and stuff like that. So we had got a new guy, so I got him an Edge, Ford Edge. So I go pick it up, and I crank the car up, and I pull up, and I get ready to go, and something just didn't. Something was wrong. I couldn't figure it out, and I hit the gas, and I took off. So I got to the next red light. And I realized the car was cutting off. And I'm like, do I need to take this back? And then I go, oh, my gosh. I'm glad I didn't take it back. I said, oh, my gosh. This does it automatically. Oh, I was mad. Oh, God, I was mad. I just started
Why does that bother you? I was so mad. I'm so used
to it with the hybrid. It's just once you get used to it, I'm sure it's cool. Okay. But there is a button that you can cut it off. But you have to cut it, just like what you're talking about, Sherry. You have to cut it off at every time you crank the car. You have to cut it off if you don't want it to do it.
It's on the starter button for mine. If I tap the starter button, it'll disable it. But I don't know why you dislike it, other than that you're like Speed Racer. It's like a fuel saving thing. Why do you hate it so much?
It's not. I can't say I don't believe that, but I don't believe that because I'm sure it may be true, but it shouldn't be true. So I'm against it being true. The thing is, you're only there for 12 seconds. I stop for 12 seconds. The car cuts off. Then the car cranks back up. I've not saved any gas. I'm wearing out my starter. I'm wearing
out
my car.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm wearing it out. That's what they want. It's a plan. It's a plan for me to have to buy another car because I wore the starter out.
I had a Chevy Chevette. I had the opposite thing happening. I used to leave that car running when I went places because it was so hard to start. And if the car started, I was like, well, let's just leave. Happy. Let's leave well enough alone. Somebody may steal it, but oh, well, it's a Chevette.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't know about that starter thing. I've got an 8-year-old Toyota, and it's a hybrid, and it turns off, you know, when it's supposed to turn off, and then I gun the engine, and it's still fine.
I get
that governor is never, ever going to hit American markets. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
I don't know if anybody else has watched the documentary, the Jon Bon Jovi thing. We watched it, and I'm a big fan. I love his music. And Carla's like, oh, she's a big fan. And she's watching this, and when it comes up, and he's like, yeah, got away with murder. I had 100 girls in my life, but my wife is still my, you know, whatever. And Carla's like, he's dead to me. He is dead to me.
Let's play a little of the trailer for this.
I got a story to tell.
I'm excited. Are we telling the truth? Or are we going to lie? What are we going to do?
There was no plan B in my life, ever. Bon Jovi was all or nothing.
Five guys from nowhere. And if you work hard enough and you dream big enough, you can make it. There's some young kid around here from New Jersey who's making some noise.
They gave me the opportunity to record on weekends and nights.
We would go in at like 4 in the morning and start doing original songs.
Bad medicine is what I need.
This sonic boom happened.
The energy of the band, undeniable. Like a freight train coming at you.
Some of the songs I wrote in my bedroom in New Jersey. I remember the day we wrote "Living on a Prayer," not thinking much of the song.
I said, "That's the best song we've written to date." John's choruses demand to be sung by 20,000 people in an arena.
We were just crushing it. Anything that every one of those bands talks about, we did. It was real fun. And I thought everybody else was enjoying it too.
Wrong.
My wife's going out the next day and he's just coming in.
It destroyed our marriage, but I don't think I should have been married at that time anyway. It almost killed us.
Every night was a war.
I don't regret leaving, but I regret how I did it. Nobody expected Richie to quit in the middle of the night. It was heartbreaking. It was taking a toll. I went out of here. And what I meant was out of Bon Jovi.
So if Carla's mad now because he's had, how many women did you say he had, Lamar?
Said 100 girls in my life.
100 girls. So in a different interview outside of the documentary, it was a long form interview, and John Bon Jovi was answering questions about the band and his personal life. And here's just a little nugget to finish Carla off.
You know, just finding her in a way that, like, I get excited in the morning when I see her every single day.
35 years later.
I get excited every single day.
What's the thing you love about her the most?
That she absolutely knows that she loves me, like with all of her heart.
I'm going to throw up. The thing you love most about your wife is that she loves you. I don't know that I've ever heard anything so, and I know we got some Bon Jovi fans out there, so forgive me, but I don't think I've ever heard such a narcissistic response to that question in my life.
They call it lead singer disease. And a lot of guys, you know, who have careers, lucky enough to have careers like that, are just another headspace.
Tell me what you love about me. I love that you love me. Do you hear that? Oh, my God.
We both have that in common. We love me.
It's like that old joke, which I just love. Let's talk about you now. What do you like about me?
Exactly. Yes.
At one point in the interview, he seriously said this. He goes, well, these women, he goes, look. And it's just like it was a perfect explanation. I'm John Bon Jovi. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm John Bon Jovi. I'm like, whoa. I can see me saying this to Carla. I'm Lamar. I'm the people's movie critic. What am I supposed to do? Okay.
Ridiculous. I'm telling you, it's lead singer disease. I didn't realize until recently that his deal with the members of Bon Jovi is he gets half, or maybe a little more than half, and the rest of them get the other half and divide it up.
It's a good half to divide up, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What do you love about her? That she loves you.
Wow.
Oh, God.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
At 110 years old, Vincent Dransfield still drives his car every day, getting coffee at the convenience store and buying lunch. He lives independently in his own house in Little Falls, New Jersey, where he has resided since 1945. He doesn't require any help. His grandchildren visit him once a week to bring groceries, and they call every other day to check in. Gransville is in good health, other than some achy knees and some other minor issues. He goes from the upstairs bedroom to the main floor and then down to the basement where he does his own laundry. No problem. His granddaughter Erica and her brother ride with him in the car to make sure his driving is okay. Listen, the statistics here, only 15% of people over 100 are men. People who live to be 110 or older, it's only 10% male. Dransfield has never had a major disease like cancer or heart disease. He's always been healthy, no headaches, no backaches. He's sharp as a tack. He has one child, three grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren. His wife of 54 years died in 1992. He spent 80 years serving as a member of the local volunteer fire department, and he was a chief for a period of time. His exercise was the fire department. He said, I was active and ran out when the alarm went off for 40 years. And then for the next 40 years, I went ahead when I felt like it, but I stayed with it. He worked at a dairy farm when he was young. He said he drank a lot of milk. He's had a glass of Ovaltine every day for breakfast all of his life. Otherwise, he eats whatever he wants. He's never gained any weight. And he says, I keep positive. I never think any other way when something's wrong. Knowing people and loving people makes me live longer. He's what a deal. Ovaltine, baby. Ovaltine. Yeah. He's the man. Yeah. He is the man. 110 and driving. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.